and welcome back to the From the Nosebleeds podcast, season 3, episode 2, here on this lovely Tuesday morning. I'm Thomas Barkernick, joined by Thomas Coburn and producer Paolo Gismondi. As always, dead of the off season, but the show must go on. We're continuing with season 3, new episode every week. Coburn, what's going on?
Nothing much, just in terms of dead of the off season. This is actually the worst time. It's like the draft is a little bit too far away. Like people who are like really into it already, it's like, okay, it's a little bit early. We got to wait a little bit more, but the season's over. I mean, I think we're going to analyze the Super Bowl again today for another whole right hour. After. Yeah. We're going to break down each play, what went wrong, but let's just extend this podcast as long as possible. So I don't have to go shovel the driveway after this. Cause there's about, I don't know, a foot and a half of snow outside.
It did snow pretty hard, and it even snowed in Texas. So that's how you know we got a storm coming. Yeah, but
well, that's where we live.
That's right.
Live in Texas.
You're very right. We are going to analyze everything about the Super Bowl. I mean, like the angle in which they dumped a Gatorade was a little bit too obtuse for my liking. So that's going to be a big talking point today. It is the dead of the off season, and last week was really. It wasn't the first Sunday with no football because that Pro Bowl week didn't have a game, but you know what I mean? It's the first Sunday without the NFL going on. So I want to ask you how have you spent your time? What have you done to get through this? Because you're right. Free agency is about a month away. So that's still, it's almost like too early to get excited for that. And the draft's, I think 70 or something days away too. So a lot of downtime here.
Well, To answer your question, but I think on this Sunday particularly, I think I slept. I think I took a nice big nap because, you know, normally I'm watching football, but I started watching Boardwalk Empire. So it's a TV show. So I mean, there's nothing to watch. There's nothing on Sundays. So I started a show, first season in, pretty good. I recommend it to the audience.
Okay, I'm sure I'll watch it in about 8 years.
You'll never watch it. Yeah, I was about to say maybe 8 years.
So I actually have a big announcement about that because I'm happy to say that if you've been a loyal listener, you know that I have this list of top 10 movies that I've never seen. And I'm happy to announce that I'm now able to remove a movie from that list and place it onto the top 10 movies that I have seen, that list. I finally, for the first time...
Wait. I don't even know what you're about to say. What have I ever told you to watch this movie?
Probably.
Okay.
When I tell you what I watched, you're going to believe that I've never seen this. It's changed my life. Changed my life. Just watched it last night. I watched Inception for the first time.
Okay. And I mean, yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts on it are, but I mean, I don't want to spoil because there's probably a lot of people like me who have never seen it before. But wow, what a film. Patrick Mahomes of movies right there. Incredible.
I mean, it's certainly, I don't think it's an all timer. I think it's good. I mean, weird that you just watched, I rewatched it about a month ago and I think it's better. I think that was maybe the third time I watched it. I think it does get better each time you watch it. Cause you kind of know what's going to happen. You can pay attention to all the little details, but, what about you like the ending? Eh?
I loved it. And I'll go so far to say, because it's a football podcast, I have to tie this in somehow. I'm not a huge movie buff, as obviously by me never seeing Inception, but Christopher Nolan, I have watched a lot. The Dark Knight's my all-time favorite movie. So I will say, Christopher Nolan, he's the Tom Brady of directors, or maybe he's the Patrick Mahomes, whoever you think is better. I love The Dark Knight. Obviously, Inception, the whole Dark Knight trilogy was outstanding. And I don't know if you've seen this movie, The Prestige, another one of his.
I've never seen that.
You got to watch that.
I know. It is
really, really good.
And I'll give you the next movie, Memento. That's the other Christopher Nolan movie that everybody loves. So there you go.
Put it on my list.
I believe it's on Amazon Prime, which I know you have. So
okay. So it'll arrive at my door tomorrow morning.
Exactly. No, on this choice. I thought you'd been smart there for a second.
Let's get into some actual football topics today. You actually brought an idea that we might have to start a little segment on the show where we review football movies, which is maybe something we can go into next week. Some news in the chat. Producer Paulo says he watched Insomnia last night, which is apparently a Nolan film. Maybe that's why he had nightmares. He was late to the Zoom call this morning.
Yeah, he overslept.
What are you going to do?
This could be his last show.
It could be his last show.
We might have to just cut him. send in your resumes to send your resumes in the comment section of the video or to our business Instagram.
This is the last straw. When he made Tom Brady holding a goat, his Twitter profile picture during the Super Bowl, that almost did it for me. Now this, watching movies, coming to the meetings late, enough is enough at some point. You got to draw the line. But let's finally get into today's topics. J.J. Watt on the market. The Texans, I personally thought that they could have gotten some value for him, traded him, even if it's just a draft pick, because we know they need those because Miami just robbed them of their draft picks. But they released him, which I guess they're putting out a statement saying that, you know what, we want him to be able to choose where he wants to go, which is nice. He deserves it in the end with all he's done for them. But whatever, he's a free agent. What's done is done. I want to talk landing spots because I personally think J.J. Watt still has a lot left in the tank. I guess I'll just throw the question out. Where is J.J. Watt playing next season?
Well, before I answer that, he's only 31 years old. You're right. I feel like people think he's old or older than that because he's been good for so long.
He also falls into the Rob Gronkowski sort of category of players just because he has a bionic arm. And I think he has he's had a surgery every single season. People think that, which is true. I mean, he's taken a beating in the NFL and he's played through a lot and he's one of the tougher players. But yeah, only 31 years old.
Was J.J. Swat the stupidest nickname in all of football history? What a dumb nickname. Oh my God. J.J. Swat, 3 wins every year.
There was a time where the Texans, with Matt Schaub, we were winning football games. And even just a year ago at this time, the Texans had a 24-0 lead on the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. So I think we need to put some
Matt
more
Schaub,
respect.
Very underrated, actually.
Led the league in passing yards 1 year. Fun fact.
There you go. Well, so did Jameis Winston.
And you know how I feel about Jameis Winston. So there you go.
We'll get to that. He's on your Mount Rushmore, which we'll do after this. Where do I think he's going to go? I mean, the Steelers are the obvious, team up with your brother and everybody's...
You just hate that. You hate that narrative. First of all, you keep saying team up with your brother, which I'm reading on every social media outlet possible or news outlet. There's two brothers in Pittsburgh and everyone forgets about Derek Watt. And people need to start respecting fullbacks more in the NFL because they do a lot and nobody cares about them. That's it. That's my rant. Continue.
Derek Watt sits at the kids' table. He still sits at the kids' table.
Which table is J.J. Watt sitting at? Because I think we're about 10 minutes into the show now.
Answer. Cleveland Browns. I think he's going to end up as a Cleveland Brown, and I think it's going to be the brother rivalry. I think it's going to renew it. When they used to play hockey, right? They used to be rivalries. Big hockey players, the Watts.
They're big up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there you go. So I think he goes to the Browns.
I've been there before, actually. Not much to do. You think he goes to the Browns?
I think he goes to the Browns.
All right, I like the landing spot. A defensive line with J.J. Watt and Myles Garrett on it. It's obviously a huge upgrade, and I think it puts the Browns over the top. They maybe become the team to beat in that AFC North. You talked about how the Steelers are going to take a step back, how the Ravens might even take a step back as well. So I like the landing spot. I was thinking about this. If that were to happen, I can just see someone photoshopping the Myles Garrett hitting Mason Rudolph in the head with a helmet photo and just putting TJ Watt's face on Mason Rudolph's and JJ Watt's face on Myles Garrett. And it's like some brother rivalry post, probably going to be a huge miss. But anyways, Cleveland Browns, I like the landing spot. Pittsburgh Steelers. I feel that I want to like the Steelers, but they've just become so unlikable to me, and signing JJ Watt can be the saving grace that they need, because I would honestly root for that. Three brothers on one team. It's fun. It's a tough division. They play hard in the North. So I like the Steelers. I don't think it's going to work with the cap. I think he goes back home to Wisconsin, goes to the NFC, doesn't have to play his brothers, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, and the Green Bay Packers. I think he can take them to the Super Bowl in Green Bay, because I honestly thought that they would go there this year.
I think he obviously works well with the Packers, but I think the Packers might look to trade for Josh Rosen because they need another quarterback.
They need to light a fire under Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. He didn't play too well this year, and quarterback's their biggest issue, as you saw in the NFC Championship game when Kevin King got lit up. Aaron Rodgers should have been helping out. So I expect the Packers to make some big moves in free agency this year with the quarterback position, but I think they're fine with their defensive line. So
right.
So Packers underrated, not the best franchise.
So now you're just speaking like best franchise in the NFL. Like what is the basis of
okay,
that?
Okay. To have Favre and Rodgers back to back. And I mean, it's kind of crazy to say only win two Super Bowls, but to only win two Super Bowls, come on.
No, I agree. And I think that they're in for a rude awakening. I feel like they've prepared themselves and they've actually were smart by getting ahead and trying to get their quarterback in Jordan Love. I know that pick got a ton of criticism, but trying to get their quarterback before the one before retires, like he did with Rodgers and Favre. But Packers fans, the blessing of having two of the top five, top 10 quarterbacks in NFL history back to back is incredible. When there's fans like myself watching, you know, Chad Henne and Ryan Tannehill he's recovered. He's saved face now. He's become this great story on the Titans. But in the Dolphins, there were some rough days. And I don't even need to talk about fan bases like the Cleveland Browns, who I'm sure you've seen that jersey of names. So yeah, I guess this JJ Watt talk has turned into how the Packers are just a lucky franchise to have these two great quarterback talents. But I guess to wrap this up, I think JJ Watt, the Packers are a great fit. Obviously, there's a lot of great fits, and so many teams would love to have a player at his caliber. The one thing I don't want to see is the Bucs, because that's the best defensive line in football. I think a lot of people would say that with the amount of talent they have. And obviously, if you watched last week's episode, you know how I feel about the Bucs winning the Super Bowl. I don't want to see it again. And when you bring a guy like Watt with that leadership and all he brings to the table, it increases their chances of doing that once again. So I'm hoping it's not the Bucs. Exactly.
Get richer. Yeah, no, I don't want to see him go to the Bucs either. Obviously I don't want him to go to the Packers because the Lions should be competing for the division this year. But no, I think the Steelers or Browns, I think, would be the most entertaining spots for him to go.
Very well. Very well. Yesterday was President's Day, of course. Well, in south of the border, it was President's Day. Here we had Family Day, which was great. Got to spend some nice time with the family, which is always nice. I know you were just taking naps and watching, was it Boardwalk Empire?
Well, yesterday was Monday, and you said, what did I do Sunday? Okay, so that's fair. Figure it out.
All right. So yesterday was President's Day. So we thought, in the spirit of President's Day, which, of course, Mount Rushmore, a phenomenal monument with four American presidents on it, to do our NFL Mount Rushmore. But there is a catch. We're not going to do all time, because if I were to sit here and tell you that, you know, I got Joe Montana on my Mount Rushmore, or like you pointed out earlier, Night Train Lane, who am I to tell you that? So it is Mount Rushmore of our era, players that we have seen with our own two eyes and grew up watching. How do you want to do this? Go one and one back and forth?
I think we should go one and one.
Okay.
And to clarify, this is basically 2007 on.
Yeah, I think that's around. That was the first Super Bowl that I watched, I think, was Patriots and Giants, which was 2007 or 2008. So, yeah.
So, of our lifetime. I guess I'll go first. We can have the same players, correct?
Yeah, we could.
All right. So, I'll go with the obvious, Tom Brady. He has to be up there. He he's won Super Bowls. He won Super Bowls before I started watching football. He's won Super Bowls when I'm 19 years old. So, I mean, he just keeps winning. He has to be on there. If he's not, you're probably not going to put him on there. But Brady will be in the first slot.
I had a really rough time writing down Tom Brady. And I even wrote three names before I even put Brady down. I mean, actually, on my sheet right now, I don't even have him written down. But if I were to sit here and tell you that Tom Brady doesn't belong on an NFL Mount Rushmore of the era in which I grew up watching and talking and debating football, I'd be lying to myself. The amount of times I've seen him win is ridiculous. And as much as it gets on my nerves, you know, you can't not respect Brady. And the fact that he's still doing what he does at 43 years old, he at least gets maybe the smallest face on mine, but he's on there.
The worst. I was about to say sketched. Jesus, I don't know what's going on with my brain today. Anyways, I guess so. You have okay. We'll both say Brady. That's good, obvious. I'll say my criteria just to preface this next pick, because people are going to be like, "What?" My Mount Rushmore is the like if you were the best at your position, nobody was better than you during the time that I've watched football.
I think I know where you're going with this, and I think I have him on there too, but go ahead. Don't mean to interrupt here.
Okay. This is going to be interesting, but Justin Tucker
is on my Mount Rushmore. Listen, I really didn't.
It is what it is. Okay. Because, okay, here's my argument. How many players are better at their position than Justin Tucker is at kicking?
I completely agree with that. And Justin Tucker, most accurate kicker of all time, will probably go down as that, barring a massive drop off in his career. And he's great at what he does.
But and also, let me add.
You have to account for
okay
the position that he plays and how important that is in an NFL game. And kicker, yes, it's important. Sometimes you live by your kicker, you die by your kicker. But what's he on the field for? 10 snaps every game?
Well. He's unreal for those 10 snaps.
Okay.
He's had so many clutch moments. And I was going to say, well, to tell you the truth, I was going to say Vinatieri, but I was like, that's not fair because like a lot of Vinatieri's big kicks, I didn't even see.
And also Vinatieri, I feel was more appreciated just because he played for so long. Whereas
he was super clutch.
He was a really good kicker and really, really clutch. And then in his older days, I almost felt like the Colts were just keeping him around.
Yeah,
just because they love him. They say, oh, that's Vinny. We love him. He's great.
I think he's a better all-time kicker than Justin Tucker, though.
Yeah, to me. Just because of the moments for my, that he's had.
Exactly. But for my Mount Rushmore, Justin Tucker, he's on there. The kickers.
I guess I'm glad that we're going to have different Mount Rushmores because I was kind of scared for a second that they're going to be the same. So I'll reveal who I thought you were talking about because, you know, this particular individual, a lot of people will criticize him because he didn't play for very long, but I've never seen someone more dominant at what they do. People were comparing a young star receiver in the NFL this year. And I know you took issue to that. I took issue to that because the fact of the matter is it's just not true and not a fair comparison. I'm talking about Calvin Johnson Jr., Megatron. Anytime you put two defensive backs on the line of scrimmage up against a wide receiver, that tells me something. He was incredible. There was a point in my time, and of course I was a little bit younger, where I honestly thought that Matt Stafford was almost a product of Megatron because anyone could just throw it up to him, and he was so dominant that he would just come down with it. And doesn't matter where you were on the field. He was so, so good. Obviously, I love Matt Stafford. Don't believe that anymore. But the point I'm trying to get across is that doesn't matter how long he played for, Megatron deserves to be on there, and I got him on mine.
Okay, well, I completely agree. I was going to say him as my next pick, but I was debating between the two, and because you said him, I'll say Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Larry Fitzgerald has... I mean, it's like my whole life he's been unreal, like one of the best receivers. I mean, maybe not now, obviously, because he's a little bit older. But up until like whatever, even when the Cardinals went to the conference championship game against the Panthers, that was the year. He was still elite then. He's been unbelievably consistent, best hands in the league in his prime once again. Obviously, he's kind of like Brady where he played a lot before I really started to watch football, but he has to be up there. I think if you're going to put a receiver on your Mount Rushmore, it's between Fitzgerald and Calvin Johnson. I think those are the only two that you can debate. So I'll go with Fitzgerald because you said Megatron.
Talk just about Fitzgerald and, you know, Larry Legend. Obviously that run to the Super Bowl when the Cardinals faced off with the Steelers was one of the best runs by an individual. Sort of, I think the Cardinals were 9-7 that year. So he really carried them. And that game against the Packers, I think it was the divisional round where he sort of put the team on his back. He had that big catch and run in overtime. And then I think it was a rushing touchdown in the end that won the Cardinals a game with a walk-off touchdown. That was one of the best football games I've ever watched. It had everything in it between Rodgers, Hail Marys, and Larry Legend doing what he does best. So I'm not going to tell you you're wrong there. It's definitely a better pick than that Justin Tucker one for sure. What you said three names. I have two.
You're two. On your third now. Okay. Yeah.
How about Aaron Donald? The most dominant defensive player of the past era. I think he's been in the league for about 8 years now, Pro Bowl for 7, All Pro for about 6. He's won Defensive Player of the Year 3 out of the last 4 times. People thought TJ Watt should have won Defensive Player of the Year. I get it, but they're not just double teaming this guy in every play. They're triple teaming him, and he still gets to the quarterback. He can single-handedly take over a game, and he makes everyone, not just on that defensive line, on that defense, better. If you're a cornerback, I want Aaron Donald on my D-line, because guess what? Now I got to cover the receiver for a lot less, and my job gets easier. He is just incredible, and he puts up edge rusher sack totals from the interior of the defensive line, which is very, very hard to do. So I got Aaron Donald.
I'm just happy the Lions drafted Ebron over him.
So that was the draft that they got Ebron. What was Ebron, ninth overall, and Donald was 12?
Something like that. Yeah, I think he was a couple, one or two picks before. Just what a great pick. Ebron, so good for the Steelers. Just one of the best. He's actually my next pick. Eric Ebron, tight end. No.
I honestly thought you would have gone Brandon Pettigrew if you were going to go Lions tight end.
Legend tight end. He was very productive for the years that he was with the Lions. So my fourth pick is Joik Bell. No. my last pick, I have to go defense. I have to pick one player on defense. I'm not going to go Aaron Donald. This guy played, 2007, like that era. That's when he was really great. Saw him he won a Super Bowl in his final year. I am talking about, do you know?
I'm going to say Ed Reed. I don't know did he win a Super Bowl in his final year?
Ray Lewis. I'm going to go with Ray Lewis. I don't know if there's a linebacker that I've watched that's better than him. Just so dominant. One of those defensive players that we talk about that just jump off the screen that not all defenders do, even if they're great. They're not like super flashy, whatever. He would just one of the most fun players to watch on defense of my lifetime. So dominant. Obviously, won his Super Bowl in his final year, which is always cool. Adds to the legacy. So I'll go Ray Lewis. Great guy off the field too.
Loved watching Ray Lewis. That entrance that he would make in every single week, that little dance that he would do, that would get me fired up in my living room on a Sunday at 1 o'clock. So yeah, Ray Lewis, fun player to watch, and I don't hate it as well. I'm going to throw another quarterback on mine to round things out. I'm surprised you didn't have him on there, but I guess you think Justin Tucker is a more impactful player in the NFL. I got Aaron Rodgers. So good. Up until Patrick Mahomes, and I don't even know if I'd put Mahomes over him yet, but most talented quarterback I've ever seen, Aaron Rodgers, what he could do with the ball, how he can deliver it on the money year after year. And I know it's sad that he hasn't won more Super Bowls than he has, but okay, it's whatever, you're sad. A Lions fan. I think he deserves better. And a lot of the times, if you look back, especially the last 3 years, he's been let down by his supporting cast or by some error or whatever, but he's just so, so incredibly talented, and he could do it with his feet. He could do it with his arm. He can make all the throws. And I honestly had him written down over Brady, but of course the 7 Super Bowls, you can't really argue against that, but Rodgers deserves to be on there, at least for mine.
I'd really like to see him leave and win 2 more Super Bowls. I think that'd be pretty nice to see what the Packers wasted. I think, yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that. I mean, listen, you said, I think it's better than your Justin Tucker pick. Once again, I'd argue that Justin Tucker's better at kicking than Aaron Rodgers is at playing quarterback.
I'd argue, and I feel like maybe people would agree with me, just maybe, that quarterback is just a little bit more important than kicking. But at the same time, I have to respect that you had on your Mount Rushmore a player from the offense, defense, and special teams. I even thought you'd maybe throw a coach on there, but hey, not bad on your part. I would have gone maybe Cordarrelle Patterson on special teams instead of Justin Tucker. But you know what? Not bad Mount Rushmores. And I could see them using mine and just actually making that the permanent Mount Rushmore, maybe next year on President's Day. That is what we will have.
Are football players more important than presidents? I think that's actually the moral of our segment, is that in the end, football players are more important than presidents. They affect exactly a lot what more change. Saying.
Yes.
Yep.
A week ago on the show, we said that I think I made the prediction. I feel like you sort of agreed with me that Carson Wentz would be traded by episode 2. Here we are, episode 2. He is still a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. Feels like he's going to be traded any day now. To me, this is the Eagles overvaluing him But I just, I guess to quickly to close out the show today, almost like a rapid fire Carson Wentz trade prediction, who he goes to and when he's traded.
Well, in terms of when he's traded, it's weird. Trade talks, when we were doing last episode, were like all over the place, heating up. It's like he's going to the Bears. They're just trying to figure out whatever, what they want in return. And now I kind of feel like it's almost cooled off. So you don't, the rumors are not as, they're not flying. Talks have kind of just toned down a bit. I think it's maybe due to the fact that I think the Eagles are a little bit delusional in what they want. Carson Wentz has a huge contract. I don't see them getting much in return, and I don't know if they've come to terms with that yet. So I don't actually think, I think by the time we do next week's episode, I still don't think he'll be traded. But still, nothing's changed. I'd like to see him go to the Colts. It'd be my number one place. But I think the Bears are the team that are going to be stupid enough to give up just a little bit more than the next team. And
typical Bears.
Yeah, they'll end up with Carson Wentz. But yeah, I don't think it's going to happen this week.
I feel the Colts are the one team that can afford to give it up. And I've said this before, just because I think the Colts, I think it works there. But you mentioned, like, leading up to the Super Bowl, I almost thought he was going to get traded before the Super Bowl at one point. Guys like Rapp and Schefter pretty much said it's going to happen any day now. So I assumed, okay, they'll let the Super Bowl pass and it's going to be Monday or Tuesday at the latest. And you're right, it has cooled down. I honestly think a lot of it is, what do they do for the Super Bowl? 10-hour pregame show, something ridiculous like that. They just flood it with these rumors, and I honestly think that's where a lot of this Russell Wilson stuff came from. For a little bit, Derek Carr was going to get traded. Now everyone's in on Marcus Mariota. All of a sudden, Marcus Mariota is considered a guy that teams want. I don't know if that's to be a starting quarterback or a backup, but the offseason, it's very, very long in the NFL, and there's no shortage of, I guess, smoke screens and headlines that are really looking at getting clicks. So I guess my long answer is I'm going to agree with you. I think Wentz, there's definitely seems to be some sort of barrier in what the Bears or the Colts value him at and what the Eagles value him at. And I agree with you completely. I think the Colts are the team that needs to get him, and that's where I want him to go. But I'm going to say the Bears. A team like Washington would be great, but I don't think that they would trade him in their division at all and face their guy who was once their franchise twice a year. It's just not going to happen.
It's too much risk. It's the same thing that the Stafford to the Bears room. It's never going to happen. Like Mariota to the Broncos. Who knows? That's a
quarter. The Raiders would never. I mean, Vegas is known for taking risks. So I don't know if they gamble their franchise in Mariota and just hand him to the.
I'd like to see a team take a chance on him.
Mariota?
Yeah, he looked decent when he came in.
He did. With the Raiders. Was that a Thursday night football game?
Yeah, against.
I think it was against the Chargers. Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I mean, that was another game that we talked about the Raiders so much this season that they completely fell apart on, and they should have won. So, you know, maybe the Raiders are a team that try to change something up, because clearly what they're doing isn't getting them to the playoffs.
Well, I think they need to give Gruden more years and more money.
What is he at now? 10 years?
This was 10 Double years, it. 100 million.
Double yeah. it.
So we're going to go 20 for 200. What do you think, John?
You know what they say?
Monday Night Football or 200 million?
Vegas always wins. So no matter what they do, they can't lose.
That's true. They're still raking in the cash from all the gambling. Perfect. They don't even care about football.
Well, I think that's going to do it. It's a perfect way to end today's episode, season 3, episode 2. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for listening to us for the past 40 or so minutes. Make sure to follow us on YouTube, like and subscribe. And you know, whatever you listen on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Give us a 5-star rating. We're currently sitting at 5 stars. We're just ahead of, I think, Colin Coward's The Herd is 4.5.
So we're better.
4.5. Yeah. So we're just, I mean, it's close right now, but we have the lead on them. So we want to keep that. So leave a comment, leave a rating, and we'll see you next week for season 3, episode 3. The quarterback carousel is coming.